It's Thursday, one of my favorite days of the week. This is Brandon Suba, your ADHD DJ, coming to you live from Subaville Studios here in Omaha, Nebraska. We're broadcasting live on the IBGR network around the world, where entrepreneurs and business professionals come together to give you as much insight, ideas, just general help as we can. And we do it, I would say Monday through Friday, but really with Australia, they start a little early on Sunday. And then I think we go a little bit into Saturday after the American side passes on their baton in the week. Now, we are not doing Facebook Live today, mainly because I have a guest. And I told her when we jumped on here to before we started, she's in like the top three celebrity opportunity I have had. And the other celebrities were kind of by an accident. Like, I got lucky, you could say. This one was totally, I sent a sob story, and hopefully she just felt bad for me. She's like, okay, fine, I'll come on the show. But my guest is Martha Krejci, and she is married to Mike. And I'm going to share a very brief story because we have such great content. I don't want to make it the me show today. But Mike and I marched in drum corps. And for those of you who are not familiar with that, that is where a bunch of brass players and drummers jump on a bus at the beginning of summer, travel around the United States, competing almost 4 to 5 nights a week. We would get a day off every 14 days to do our laundry. That was pretty much it. Otherwise, we were sleeping on gym floors or practicing out on fields. And huge passion, actually. And Martha, I don't think you know this. Last name is Suba, and I play the tuba. So that I've rode that for a long time in life. But at the end of the competition, there's DCI, Drum Corps International. And there's emotions flying anyways. And as we are marching out onto the field, and I have to preface it, Mike was the military, you don't breathe, you don't talk to me when I am in attention stance. And that's how Drum Corps was. But when we're walking out, he comes over by me and he goes, "Hey." And once again, we should not be talking. It's like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I'm really proud of you." I was like, "Oh." And he goes, "You remind me a lot of me." And I don't know if he was crying, but then I started crying. And I don't cry a lot, but then I started crying. And we started the show with that. And I will never, ever forget that in my life. So Mike had a huge impact. And I told Martha, I don't think he even knows that I remember that. Hopefully he does. I don't expect him to. But that was one of those moments in life you didn't see coming. And it was really cool when it came. So great opportunity there. But that's the connection I used. I used that connection from like 20 years ago to get Martha on the show. So Martha, how are you today?
Oh my gosh. I'm just living the dream. Like, we made it. I'm in Florida. We made it through a torrential downpour already today, and now it's looking nice, and I'm just good.
Perfect. So, Martha, we have a lot of content to go over today. You are very successful at what you do. I believe you are all about helping people, especially getting started in their own businesses, and that's what we focus on a lot here on Success Can Be Fun with Focus. So tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of your cliff notes of what got you to where you are today.
Oh man, cliff notes. Cliff notes are hard. I always have to decide which part of my story do I start in. So I'm going to start at the one closest to now. How's that?
Perfect.
The thing that really got me where I am right now is I worked for a top tech company for about 5 years in leadership. And as I was working in that tech company, I was gleaning everything I could. So I was still in my 9-to-5 job. But every time that I would talk to somebody and I would support them, so a customer calling in, needing support on something, I would go the extra mile, not just to help that customer, but to also deepen my own understanding of the field that I was in. And so as I was doing that, I was getting better and better by leaps and bounds. And I had a greater understanding than probably most people that even worked there about the industry that we were in, which was digital marketing. Because my experience, my understanding went outside of the bounds of just our products. And so I was really just immersing myself in the entire industry because it was really fun to me. And it was kind of like a puzzle, and it excited me, and then I could help support people better. Well, I was in that business, you know, for a really long time. And then I was starting to feel the nudge. And I think we all feel this nudge at one point or another. And I was feeling the nudge of like, go do your own thing, right? You talk to all of these entrepreneurs, thousands, you know, and as I'm talking to them, I'm thinking like, I want to do that. Like, I love helping you, but also like, I want to do that. Like, let me go do that, you know, put me in, coach. And eventually I really felt the nudge strong enough where I was like, I really, really want to do this. But here's the deal. I had, my husband and I had just bought a brand new house, expensive brand new house. We daughter, okay, at this point in time. And his parents lived with us because his dad had just lost his job and he's in his 70s. And in your 70s, you don't go get a new job. And so we invited them to live with us. And so we bought a house big enough for both families and all of that stuff. Well, I was the one that was really pulling in the majority of the income into the home, and I had the insurance. And so while I was getting this super nudge to go do my own thing, that was probably the most irresponsible thing on paper to go do, right? And so I was feeling the nudge, but then this is what changed everything. One day, I was sitting in my carpeted cubicle. It smelled like the 60s. I think everybody has been in that cubicle and you're like, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be breathing this in. And I had all of my affirmations and my positive quotes all around me, the things that got me through my day. And then I had pictures of my family, you know, by my computer and everything. And all I was sitting there was thinking was, I don't want to take another call right now. I want to go home. Do I have any sick time? Can I just go home for like a half hour? You know, like how much sick time do I have? But here's the deal. Whenever you're a mom, you don't ever have sick time because you're always using your sick time. And especially when you're really feeling like you don't want to work your job anymore, every time, you know, that time drops and you can start using it, you use it that day. Yep. That's what happened. And so I didn't have any sick time, of course. And so instead I just got irritated and I went and took a break. And I think where we all just go take a break is we go hang out in the bathroom and scroll on our phone. And that's what I did. And so I went there to hide. Nobody's going to come in there and tell me to go do something. So I went and I hid and I was scrolling through my phone and I was watching what everybody else is doing with their day. And I'm, you know, internally, I'm like, jealousy. I wanted to be doing something else other than what I was doing. I felt trapped. And then what happened is the video came through on my phone. And then you know how you see like the thumbnail of the video? Mm-hmm. It was my daughter on her feet. And I was like, oh my gosh, that hadn't happened before. And so I pushed play on the video. Mike is who sent me the video, my husband. And I pushed play on the video and I see my daughter with this look on her face like of amazement. Taking her first like clunky, you know, one foot is kind of pigeon-toed and like taking these steps towards the camera. And in me, I am just like, oh, my baby is walking. These are her first steps, right? In the next moment, everything went, it like imploded on itself because reality hit. And while I was so incredibly excited about her taking her first steps, the reality is that they weren't towards me, right? And that I wasn't there and I was missing it. And everything that I say to people about my family coming first, about me doing everything for my family, me making sure that Nora, our daughter, has experiences and the ability to do whatever she wants to do in life, and me really opening the doors for her, all of that was crashing down on me as a bunch of lies. Because what I was living out was nothing close to that. Mm-hmm. I was living out being away from her over 40 hours a week. And she was having these moments. I wasn't there. I was watching documentation of her life instead of being a part of it. And in that moment, everything, it was like a movie. It was like time stopped. Everything just blacked out from the outside in. And I remember just thinking, not right or wrong, but do you want to continue missing things? This is just a microcosm. I'm going to keep missing the same stuff over and over and over again. And am I okay with it? And the answer, of course, was no. And so I sat in my chair at work because I had to, total caged animal, for the rest of the day. And then whenever I went home, I was like, I'm going to quit my job. And so on my way home, I prepared myself, right? Because for those of you that don't know Mike, Mike is like the guy that holds the string to my balloon. So Brandon told you he's like very militant, and he's stoic in nature, and he is logical. So what about this? What about this? What about the real things?
Right.
So for me, I'm like visionary and entrepreneur and ideas and all of that. And he's like, okay, but what about this? And what about this? And so all the while, as I'm driving home, I'm thinking of every direction the conversation could potentially go, and I'm bracing myself for an argument because I know that I'm going to say I want to quit my job to a man that clearly understands my job is what pays the bills, holds the insurance, has, you know, this house that we just bought, all of these things that could very rightfully so induce a ridiculous amount of fear. All of that happens. And then as I'm getting ready to walk in the door, actually, I'm going to talk about it whenever we come back from break.
Okay,
I'll cover that whenever we come back.
That'll be perfect. I think a lot of listeners can relate to that feeling and feeling trapped and ready to make that leap and all of that. And as we go through today's show, you're going to hear a lot of the successes that Martha has had beyond this, because we are right, and I love the cliffhanger, we are right to the point where that decision is made, and so much has happened since then, hence why we are honored to have you on the show today. We have Martha Krejci on here today. She is a phenomenal, I'm going to call a person that loves processes and helping others. I think that sums it up. But she has a concept called HBR. And your book just came out for this too, right?
Is yes.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, it did.
So HBR, Home-Based Revolution. And that's kind of the topic that we're going to round out today, because a lot of entrepreneurs, we're working from home. Like in the digital age, it's so much easier, and you know, saving on the overhead and all of that, getting a building, and some businesses need that. I get that, but a lot of us have the opportunity to have a home office. So I'm gonna have Martha take over again, finish up her story on how she kind of got to where she is today, and then we're gonna dig into some HBR stuff. Go ahead.
Boom. Sorry for interrupting you. I am notorious for talking while other people are talking. So just ask my husband. It's just fun whenever I do it on someone's show. So sorry. So what I was doing is I was bracing myself whenever I was driving home, because I was thinking, remember, like, oh my gosh, I'm about to present this thing to my husband that I must do as a human. I cannot do this thing I've been doing already. I have to change things, but I think this is going to cause a ridiculous fight. Like, I'm ready for it. I walk in the door. I set down my purse and my keys, and the moment that I set down my keys, he looks at me, I look at him, and like I take a gulp. I'm like, oh man, here we go. And I was like, I'm going to quit my job. I was like, let's just tear the Band-Aid off. I don't even know another way to do this. Let me tear the Band-Aid off. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I think we should create a marketing agency. I know how to do X, Y, and Z. And I believe that we can start our own business doing this. And here's what he said. Again, I'm totally braced for an argument. He said, Martha, if you don't do this, you're doing yourself and everybody around you a disservice. And I was like, what? I mean, Brandon, you know this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my talk.
No.
You know? Okay, how are the bills going to get paid? How are we going to keep this house? How are we get, you know, are we going to be destitute? Are we going to be homeless? Like, that's typically what would be going through his head. But for him to say the thing that he said, I knew I had to do it, because there was something else talking through Mike that day. There was something else, like greater purpose. There was something, and I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe that was a God moment where Mike was being used in that moment. He said a thing that was not normal for Mike to say. And so that it came through him, and I was like, buckle up, because this is about to happen. And so what I did, and people are always curious about the very first thing that I did, so I want to just share it really quick. What I did, the very first thing I did whenever I started my business, is I went out, because my business is a B2B, right? So it was a digital marketing agency that helped other entrepreneurs. I started with SEO. I have a strange understanding of search engine optimization. I know a Google algorithm changed before it even happens or before they announce it. And so what I did is I got a membership at the local Chamber of Commerce. And I went there and I started doing trainings on SEO. Well, here's the thing. You can train people on SEO. Do they want to do it? Nope. Do they want me to do it for them? Absolutely. And so I was able to get clients that way. And the very first month, I was making what I made at the last show. And then the rest is history. So that's how I've gotten to where I am. I mean, you know, there's been a few years removed from that. That's, we're now in a different place. But that's how I, that's the corporate to entrepreneur transition.
And I want people to be prepared. Her successes are taking on a common situation and blowing it out of the water. And you hear these stories, which, by the way, please follow Martha. I know you tote YouTube a lot. I think most of your stuff goes through YouTube, but I like to follow Facebook. It's just convenient for me, I guess. But follow her. She has so much good daily content and these inspirational stories that are real. Like, you can see these are real. This isn't the baloney guy that's driving a Lamborghini that he just rented for this one video. This is real life, and you can see it day in and day out. But the one thing that I've really taken away over the years is you are all about processes. And I think to be successful in SEO especially, it is. It's a process, and it's an ever-changing process. So with the Homebase Revolution, to me, you really came up with some processes that are generic to work in most, if not all, situations, right?
Yep.
And the first thing that you pointed out was you got to find a mentor. Okay, so we've got people, they're ready to take the jump, or maybe they haven't taken the jump yet. They have an idea of what they want to do, or they even have a product or something, and it's time to find a mentor. And side note, mentor, coach, same thing, just different word.
Yeah, that's how I see it.
Okay, perfect. Me too. But you know, some people are all about titles. All right, so you find a mentor. Tell me more about that, kind of the process there.
Yeah. So the finding of the mentor and who to find and that sort of thing. My very first mentor that I had, and then I'll go into more, but this is going to describe why. The very first mentor that, or business coach that I had, I guess that was his title, was he was great and all. He really, I'm pretty sure, just read the book Traction and was implementing that. And that's fine. Traction's a fantastic book, but just read the book and do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? But so he was doing that sort of stuff with me, which was fine until we hit a fork in the road. And the fork in the road was whenever he told me that I was too altruistic to be successful. And he said, you want to, for those that, you know, can't just go Google what altruistic means, you are heart-centered, you give things away, you like to help people, like that's an altruistic heart. And he said, I was too much of that in order to be successful in business. And that was where I was like, we're done. Because you're a fantastic human being, right? You just can't be my coach, because I'm not going to allow you to coach your limitations onto me. Because just because you haven't experienced it and you haven't done it yourself and been able to be successful doesn't mean I can't. And I knew, I was confident enough in my own abilities at that point in time, even, and that was in the beginning, where I was like, okay, well, we're just done here. And so I had to fire him as a coach. A good mentor or a coach to look for is very simple. They need to have done or be doing what you want to do. And most people stop it there, but it goes further in the way that you want to do it. Because you can say, well, I want to be a billionaire. And then you find somebody that's a billionaire and be like, I want you to coach me. You're a billionaire. Okay, listen, what if they did some pretty shicey stuff in order to become a billionaire? Not okay with me, right? So as long as that billionaire became a billionaire by serving the needs of people and by showing up and being heart-centered, then yeah, go ahead and coach me. But not, a lot of them haven't. we basically just need to be looking for coaches and mentors that are where we want to go in the way that we want to get there. That's the biggest thing.
Perfect. Okay. All right. So we find a mentor. Where are we at in time here? Excellent. So the next thing is talking about building a community. And one thing that I want to kind of talk about as you're just going to dive in this a little bit here before we take our next break is, what is your community? You have such diversity and you're not scared to be a little polarizing, although you are very good at sticking to your guns, but being generic, I feel. But so what is your community? And then we can take our break. And when we come back, we can kind of dig more into it.
Yeah. So my community, I have many communities. So there's communities that I run, and then there's communities I'm a part of. And the communities that I run are, you know, they're basically about entrepreneurial. I really focus on families and being able to help families do this thing, because it's important to me that families understand that they can do so much more than they realize they can do, that they don't have to be part of a system that isn't serving them and doesn't have their well-being in mind. And instead, they can do their own thing. So all of us that have entrepreneurial spirits, we have that same thing. We have sort of that, and I don't have another way to say it other than like a warrior spirit that says, not on my watch, right? Like, my family isn't going to have to deal with this stuff that everybody else has to deal with, because I'm going to make things change for my family. And then, unfortunately, a lot of people will start feeling that way and want to do that. But then whenever they go out into the world and they try to implement, that's where it goes haywire and goes sideways, is because then that's when you start Googling, how do I grow a business online? And you end up with five dude bros sitting on front of Ferraris. And you're like, I don't know if I want to do it like that. Also, I don't know if they're really doing it. You know, like it's the truth in the industry is really gross. And it's that a lot of people will, and I'm going to use this word, regurgitate. I love getting able to use that word. But a lot of people will learn something and then they'll regurgitate that content all over other people and charge for it, but they've never actually done it themselves. And so they're teaching you something. They don't even know if it works. They don't even know. They don't even do it themselves. And then you buy it. And then whenever it's not successful for you, what do you feel like? You feel like a failure, because there's this thing that everybody that works for everybody else. Why doesn't it work for me? Well, here's the deal. The human spirit can only take on something that feels like failure so many times until they're finally done.
Perfect. If you are listening as a podcast today, thank you so much. If you haven't subscribed, that's my only request, so that you get these new every Monday, edited, ready to go. Don't even have to work through the four segments. You just get one nice long podcast. And Martha, that was a goal that I set. We're in season six. I don't think I told you that. We're in season six. And I set that goal in season five. And you talk about family. My dad retired. And so he takes my shows and he puts them all together as a podcast now. So, like, family, this is a family affair here.
I love that.
Can be fun. So, and he does too. And funny, he was on vacation the last 2 weeks, so I had to do it. And it was Monday night that one went out. And then it was Tuesday night that one went out. So, you know, we set goals. We try. I do my best. ADHD DJ is earned every single day with me. So one thing that I wanted to talk about from the last segment is, you mentioned that there are a lot of coaches out there. They preach what to do, but they've never done it or can't do it themselves. And one thing I heard a lot in the networking world is the, if you can't do, teach. And like I said on our break, what makes me sad is there are a handful of people that can do and are amazing teachers. And it's probably hard to get them, because when people find them, they don't let go. But then there are a lot more that just do the, you know, I've sold a couple things, but let me give you an hour presentation on how to sell. And I'll use the word regurgitate. You've heard it before. Actually, funny, I was sitting in a training one time and a slide came up and it was a pyramid, and I finished the whole drawing, and with the person next to me, I looked and I said, this is where it's going to go, I bet. And sure enough, exact line and exact words in the pyramid, because I had heard it. I heard it like 3 months before from a different person. So, okay. So we're talking about building a community. You shared a little bit of yours, what your community looks like. What, as far as the HBR, what should we look for once we have that mentor opportunity? We're starting our business. Now we're out trying to find a community.
Yeah. So what you look for is, you look for other people that are moving the same direction that you are, right? So there's obviously, there's always going to be a coach or a mentor involved in some capacity, or typically there is. But you, what you make sure of is that the people in the group that you're joining, that you share something with them. So for us in HBR and some of my other groups, we share the fact that we're family people and that we choose to live from our hearts. And we choose, and that sounds very Care Bear, I know it, but it is what it is. But we choose to grow our business, but not feel salesy in doing it, because that is the thing that keeps like families and, you know, heart-centered people from really being successful, is they don't want to be salespeople. They don't want it. It doesn't feel good to them. But if you show them a way to be a great salesperson without actually having to sell, so to speak, then they can get on board with that. And now all of a sudden their entire life can change because it's different. But getting back to the question, that what we need to look for in community is something that we can share with the people that's a very strong characteristic of yourself. And the reason why is because the way that I see communities is that it's a bunch of people going the same direction, right? It's like a mob going the same direction. And what I know about a mob of people going the same direction is that, like, if you think of the running of the bulls, that's a bunch of people moving the same direction. Now they're going away from something they don't want, but who cares? This is just for a visual. So you see a bunch of people moving the same direction. What can you not do?
Look away.
There's that. You also can't stand still, right? You can't stand still in the middle of this mob of people that's all racing towards their goal, or else you will feel weird, right? You can't help but get emotionally caught up and do the same thing. So this is where community matters so much. There's entire marketing things around herd mentalities. Well, why don't you leverage, instead of looking at herd mentality as a buying thing, like we need to create a herd mentality, you know, in order to sell our widget, whatever, right? Instead of looking at it like that, why don't we leverage it for growth? So why don't we get ourselves in a herd so then we can be part of the herd mentality that then equals good growth? That's a good community, in my opinion.
So then we have our community, we have our mentor, we've got our widget. I love the widget thing, but we've got our widget, or we've got our concept idea. Next step is you need to find what sets you apart, because my dad's in the food business. And one thing, well, he was, I guess he's retired, but one thing he told me is you can sell mac and cheese to a giant corporation and they can have somebody come in and offer it 1 cent cheaper per pound. And because of the mass amount they ordered, that's a big savings on their side. They don't even send you an email to say, hey, we're done. They just start ordering from the other person. So when you need to set yourself apart in a world of so much noise and so much, I want to say copycat, but that's not necessarily the same thing. What can help you get there?
Yeah, it's blue ocean, red ocean, right? it's the people, when they start their business, what I see the most is they do the whole commodity thing. They treat what they do as a commodity, right? This is what a lot of people talk about it, but what we need to do, and if you're listening to this and you haven't heard that, then like you will at some point, okay? I'm not the first person to say this, but a commodity is a race to the bottom on price, because a commodity basically is putting yourself along with everybody else. And the only way that you can succeed is by costing less in order to outrank your competitors. Okay. That's a commodity, and everybody races to the bottom. And quite frankly, nobody wins and everybody's having a terrible time. So what we're doing here, what we should be doing in order to set ourselves apart, this is Red Ocean, Blue Ocean. I think it's called Blue Ocean Strategy is the book that really goes into all of this. But Red Ocean is essentially where all of the sharks are feeding on, you know, like there's a bunch of stuff that they eat. I don't know, fish, a lot of stuff that they eat in the ocean, maybe even each other. Like, it's, the ocean is red with blood, quite frankly. This is, okay, so regurgitation, red with red blood. I'm just keeping track. I'm just keeping track of this violent call we're having. So, and so there's that, that's red ocean, and that's everybody competing with each other. That's your commodity. Everybody treating each other as a commodity or themselves as a commodity. Blue ocean is where you back out of that red ocean and you put yourself into a place where nobody else can touch you. And the only way for you to be in a place where nobody else can touch you is to set yourself apart. Now, how do you set yourself apart? You create programs, or you create, so this is like from courses and coaching and consulting and that sort of thing. It can be done in any business though. You add things to what you offer that nobody else adds, but that are of massive value to your person. So really at the end of the day, what it looks like is this. You think of your person, who are you serving? You know, like if you don't know who that is, that's your first thing. But you think of who you're serving, and then you put yourself in their position as they need what you have. And then you, as you put yourself into their shoes, you think, okay, so they need this. What else can I help them with? Who else can I connect them with? Is there a way for me to be able to add other value so their life is better? So their life isn't as hectic? So they can, bonus points if you can condense time for them, right? If you can make their life so easy that working with you actually saves time, doesn't matter if it saves money. Does it save time to work with you, right? So that's like, that's a big way to be able to set yourself aside or set yourself apart in the market and move over into blue ocean, where it doesn't even matter if somebody else says they do what you do, that, that, you know, like the core thing that you do, they can't compete with you because you also do this, 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 and this, and you develop a loyal following just simply because of how much you serve people.
Do you feel the digital, and this might be a loaded question for you, but do you feel the digital age has made it easier to give those extra? Because I enjoy them. They're a great way to start your morning. That's something no one else can necessarily do in your spot. And it has a lot to do with your authenticity and your success. But do you find the digital age made that a little easier? And I know it can muddy the waters too, but before we just didn't have the reach, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, we didn't have the reach, and then we didn't have the ability to say, so like a lot of the leverage and the extras that I add are other people. Right. So I call them super friends because I really like Marvel and stuff like that. So I'm always like into superhero stuff. So what I do is I bring in other people that their vertical is alongside mine. Like we have parallel verticals, but we serve the same people, but they help people alongside what I do, but they help them do different things. So I have some people that help write books and stuff like that. Right. So, but that's not my thing. I'm not going to pretend like that's my thing. So I bring them in. So the digital age has allowed me to bring friends in from Texas, from Canada, from Australia to come into my programs and come into my stuff that can be the extra stuff that I offer. And I don't have to go to Australia. I don't have to go to Canada. We can just do it in a digital style.
Speaking of, was it Australia this morning? Was your guest that you had on, was she from Australia this morning? Or where was... She had an accent. I know that.
She's got a great accent.
Yes, she does.
She is... I want to say it was South African. I can't remember.
Okay.
But she is... She's in Canada now, I think. I can't remember.
Got it.
I think
no,
she's in Canada.
No, that's all good. That's all good. And I agree. I mean, even us. You're in Florida. I'm in Nebraska. And we're able to be doing the show. And I love the having other people come on. Because everybody's good at something. And in the networking world, it is all about finding that one person that doesn't do what you do, but we have the same clients. And when you bring that together, it's amazing the business that can happen. And I'm already hearing that's the selling without having to sell, which I love.
Yes.
Which I love.
100% yes.
So we are going to go into our next break. We're going to finish out the show. And this is something that I believe Martha says a lot, but building without ads. Building without ads. So if you've ridden along this long, thank you so much. But I think you're going to get a lot out of the closing of the show today. This has been so much fun. I honestly think we could probably do a 4-hour show, although neither of us have that time today, I believe. But as we're finishing up today, we've touched on finding a mentor, building that community, and really what sets you apart. And Martha, I loved the Redwater, Blue Water. What was the book again? I'll have to.
I think it's called Blue Ocean Strategy, I think.
Blue Ocean Strategy. Okay, excellent. It sounds like something right up my alley, because I like to stand out. And if I'm in a room live, I'm loud, easy to stand out. But when you're really, you know, trying to grow a business and stand out, it's not always the easiest to find how. To find how, more or less. Okay, so here we go. We've got all these ideas. I hope if you're listening, you're ready to take that leap today. Go home and tell your spouse or significant other you're quitting your job because it worked for Martha. But this is something that I find really fun is building without ads. And in the digital marketing world, there's great value in that world. There absolutely is. But if you can find, if you can succeed at this, I think you're going to find the success that you want. I'm not going to say quicker, but more organically how you want to do it. So Martha, build without ads. Tell us more.
Man, I love building without ads. I hate ads. So I'm really good at ads. Like I've been called an ads guru, but I don't want to do it. What I can do is I can turn an ad strategy into an organic strategy just as good as anything else. So first of all, what we need to understand about the ads world right now, as we sit in this moment today, is that all of these companies that are using ads for their business are going to tank. So there's two massive things that are happening, and one's been happening for a while, and that's that Facebook and Apple are going head to head, and they're not liking each other, and Apple isn't allowing a lot of Facebook ad stuff to come through, and there's just like there's a huge like ad spend is going up for less results. It's just a mess. Okay, the only people that are in any way winning at that game are like the big box stores, the big brands that can go ahead and lose some money and be fine with it. But so far as the mom and pop, the personal brand, the brick and mortar places, they're losing their tail right now and they have no idea what to do. So that's just one problem that's going on. Second one is that on Google, Google is doing away with cookies. So what that means is, for those of you that don't know, and you're like, Google's not allowing us to have cookies anymore. No, you can eat cookies at home. Here's what isn't going to happen. The little pixel isn't going to track you around the interwebs. You know how you go somewhere on the internet and all of a sudden you get all of these advertisements because you were at that place, or you get ads for a competitor because they know you were at that place. How'd they know I was there? That's like all of that weird marketing. That's because of cookies. Well, all of that marketing costs money, and those are ads. So the ads world is completely disrupting itself. So if we look at Red Ocean and the sharks feeding on each other, that is all of the ads and big players, Google, Facebook, Apple, that's all of them too right now. So let them just eat each other in the Red Ocean, and let's move on over to Blue Ocean in calm waters where we have our Mai Tai and we're in a floaty. That's where we need to be. And so what you can do is you can bring what you would have used as an ad strategy over into organic media. So organic basically just means you don't pay for it. Okay. So that's why we like the word organic. It's also better for you in food, but that's not what we're talking about today. So an ad strategy, an amazing ad strategy is, if we look at the top, if you've got a notebook out right now and you can write down at the very top, it's exposure. I need to get out there and I need to get eyeballs. That's your very first ad. It's your top line ad. The one that goes to cold traffic. This is what I'm about. This is like a quick 2 to 3 minute video about the stuff that I know and what I'm really good at. Now, if we're looking at that strategy, the way that that could equate in organic is that is, so I do daily lives every day. We were talking about them earlier, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live every day, Monday through Friday. And it's expected. But in those, that's my exposure, okay? So that is my letting you know I know my stuff, one. also letting you determine whether you like me, and then three, letting you decide if you want to take the next step. Okay? That's all a first ad should do. And so that all can happen just in showing up online. So a lot, you know, some people try to do it just with posts. You can, but there's such an algorithm hack to using videos, and it's not just an algorithm hack. It's an interpersonal hack. You know, I mean, when you hear, if you read the words I was saying, it would be one thing, but you hear them coming out of my face and you see the emotion, you see like how I feel about things, you see maybe a little swagger here and there, that you're going to connect with in a different way. And so like some people will watch videos and some people will read posts. There are different types of people. So that said, you should be doing video, but then also supplement with some posts here and there, some short posts here and there, just to pull out some content from those videos, like some gold, some nuggets from the videos, and just have them as posts that you, you know, you're just recreating different kinds of content. This is also content strategy. So that's your top line ad. And now a next version of that ad, or a next, you know, in the campaign, I guess, the next part of that ad would look like, okay, well, let me invite you into something. Let me tell you about something that I can give to you for free, right? That's where the freebie comes in. That's, you hear lead magnets, freebie, if you've heard that terminology before. If you've ever joined the One Funnel Away Challenge from ClickFunnels and thought you were going to be a millionaire the next week, I don't blame you. That's how they market it. But you've heard freebie or lead magnet, right? So freebie or lead magnet, quite frankly, is this. It's a guide. It's a something that lets somebody know how to get a quick result in what you help them do. So let me help you do this quick, right? Let me help you do this quick. And so it's a guide. It should be consumable within 5 to 10 minutes. This is not an ebook. This is not an hour long something or other. This is not, you know, like it can't be, it has to be consumable within 5 to 10 minutes, because the idea here is they don't yet know you enough to commit more than 5 to 10 minutes. And so if we ask them to commit more time than that, then that's, it's really shooting yourself in the foot, because from human behavior standpoint, they're not ready. They're not there yet, right? So that's the freebie part of it. And so that you do in, you can do it on your public pages, or what I do, and we go back to community, is I created a community. So I have a community on Facebook, and what I say is, hey, if you guys want to learn more about this training that I did today, or this challenge that I did, or whatever, I have a bunch of trainings in there, I'll invite people into my group. So then they can go into the guide section and basically just go through the library of content that I've spent years creating. And so that is the invite. That's the lead magnet. So they can find one of those trainings, go through the content super quick, and then be able to join in. Or I could give them a guide that says, here's how you do X, Y, and Z, right? And then they go through, they do X, Y, and Z, and then they're like, oh my gosh, she really knows her stuff. Well, at the bottom of the guide, I also have an invite into the group. Okay, cool. So I helped you do this thing. If you want more where that came from, the treasure trove is over here. So then you invite them into the group, and then they can go into the guide section and really learn more about you. Okay, that's the second part. Now I'm just going to close this out super quick here. The third part is this, that you, that's your CTA, that's your call to action, that's your invite into joining into a thing that you are, you know, selling, something that actually costs money. So whatever you do and whatever you, you know, whatever you sell, whether it's a service or a product, makes no difference at all. That's where you do it, is in your group. So a lot of people make the mistake of doing that out in public. That they are not there for that. Okay, let them come into your group, into your community. They're there for that. They want to go down the rabbit hole with you. So that is how you can turn an ads campaign into an organic campaign. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
And I want to be very clear. If you've said to yourself during that, well, but my business doesn't work that way, you're wrong. You're wrong, because I think of trades. Right. If I'm going to use plumber because it's an easy example. If I'm a plumber, what I do is plumbing. I go into homes and I install faucets and I fix things. Nobody cares about that. Okay. Actually, yes, they do care about that. And even simply showing the weird tool that came with that faucet what that does and why you should keep it. Probably a two-minute video. Super easy. That's amazing content that's going to make you stand in the blue water versus the red water because of the mindset of, well, nobody really cares about that. They do. And there's plenty of people that you're going to find that can do that. All right, Martha, we've got an 1 minute and 30 seconds. I want people to be able to find you, and I want you to promote what you got going on. So tell us, what's your website? Where can we find you? I've already said follow you on Facebook. I do. But what's some other areas that they can find you and get some of your content?
Yeah, you can find me anywhere. My handle anywhere is The Martha Krejci. And the reason why is not because I'm full of myself. It's because there's literally another Martha Krejci. and she's a photographer in Czechoslovakia, and she looks a little bit like me. It's real weird. So The Martha, right? The Martha Krejci is where you find me. My website is withmartha.com. That's my really good hub for everything. I just had a book come out. Simon Schuster published it, my first book. I'm so excited.
That's so awesome.
It's called The Home-Based Revolution, and you can get it at marthasbook.com. That'll just take you to Amazon, where you can pick it up. You can also get it at Barnes & Noble and all that stuff, too. But Amazon is easy, so there's that. Just look for me. I'm everywhere. Just Google Martha Krejci, and you'll either find a photographer or me, but I think I outrank her at this point.
Right, yeah, and I'm pretty sure they'll catch on who they're looking at very quickly. Well, Martha, thank you so much. Your knowledge was amazing. Your time that you gave to us, I don't know how to repay you for, but I really appreciate you coming on today, bringing all the great content. For everybody else, we will be Facebook Live again next week. The topic is don't confuse envy with jealousy. Pretty excited for that one because it's a little personal on that one, which most of my shows are. So Martha, thank you again. Everybody else, get out there and have a phenomenal business week.